Chaim HaKadosh, Parsha Shmini, Tafshin, Ayin Zayin, Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back, and it's amazing to see a room full of Talmidim, from Mevakshe Hashem. Okay, so the Parsha begins, Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini, it was on the eighth day. The eighth day of what? The eighth day of what?
The
eighth day of the month? No.
The eighth day
of the Chanukah Samishkan. It was on the eighth day. Moshe had spent 7 days putting together the Mishkan, taking it apart, putting it together, taking it apart. And now the inauguration was coming to its climax, where the Mishkan would be put into place and remain in place. And it was on the eighth day. That now Moshe is going to step down, and Aaron and Uvanav are going to step up. Kara Moshe la'Aaron u'levanav u'lezikne Yisrael. I'm just reading the Pesukim. Moshe called to Aaron and his sons in the Zikne Yisrael. Vayomer el Aaron, kach lecha eagle ben bakar lechatas v'ayel la'ula t'mimim v'akriv lefnei Hashem. Aaron is told to take an eagle as a chatas, an ayel, a ram, as an ola, and to offer them as karbanos before Hashem. And Aaron, you should tell Bnei Yisrael that they should also bring karbanos. Kechu seir izim lachatas. They should take seir izim, a goat, a he goat, a male goat for a chatas. Ve'egal v'keves bnei shana tamimim laola. V'shur v'ayel ishlamim lizvach lefnei Hashem. U'mincha blula v'shemen. Ki ayom Hashem nir'ah aleichem. Because on this day, Hashem will appear to you. This is a very chashuv pasuk in Chumash. That phrase, we'll get into it a little bit now. Ki hayom Hashem nirah aleichem, because today Hashem is going to descend. Hashras Hashchina on the Mishkan is about to take place. And we need to think about what that means. It's a pasuk that's just tucked away here in Shmini. But what does it mean? What did Bnei Yisrael have to do in order to be worthy of Hashras Hashchina? And what do we need to do to be worthy of Hashras Hashchina? Okay, so that's how the parasha begins. So let's see. It says the Arachayim HaKadosh. The first piece we're not going to do, it's a very lengthy piece, but I just want to tell you what the topic is, because it's a good Mayer Malkum to be aware of. What does the Arachayim HaKadosh do every time you see the word Vayihi?
Is it good or bad?
Right, Vayihi, he assumes usually bad, right? Vayihi usually is bad, even though we've pointed out many times that Vayihi B'mei is always bad. Vayihi b'mei, the Gemara and Megillah says, is always bad. V'haya, the Medrash, the Gemara does not discuss V'haya. The Medrash says V'haya is a Lashon Simcha, something good. And the Rechaim HaKadosh does use that in numerous places, right? V'haya ki sava al aretz, you remember his famous comment? When you come to Eretz Yisrael, the Simcha of coming to Eretz Yisrael. Vayihi, the Rechaim usually assumes is bad. And there is such a stream of thought in Chazal. Although the Gemara and Megillah's conclusion is that Vayihi can go this way and that way. So he has a very long explanation here. He starts off, Tzarech Ladas Matam Omer Vayihi. Why does our Parsha Vayihi Beyom HaShmini begin with Vayihi? Something negative. U'Mesechus Megillah Daf Yud Omer Rabbi Levi Dover Zem Misoris Biyadena Me'atche Knesset Gedola Kol Makom Shenemar Vayihi Eino Ela Lashon Tzar. Says Rabbi Levi, we have a tradition that Vayihi is always a bad thing. Vayihi is always a bad thing. So the Gemara says, but Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini, this is a great thing. I just told you a second ago, this is a Zman of Hashras Hashchina. This is the Mishkan coming to its purpose. That the Mishkan would stand in its place. The Mishkan would be fully functioning. What's bad about this day? Nuchever, what's bad about this day? You got the Perek Yud and Shnayim Mikra yet? What's bad about this day? Who's going to die? Nadav and Avihu are going to die. Nadav and Avihu are going to die. Okay, so that's what's bad about this day. So the Gemara goes back and forth. What about Vayera Vayivokar? When Hashem created the world, that's a good thing. And the building of the Mishkan is as good as creation of the world. That's why it says Vayihi. The Gemara says, no, but it's really bad because Nadav and Avihu are going to die. The Rechaim HaKadosh spends many, many words, about two columns in my edition, going back and forth, trying to clarify how we properly understand Vayihi. Is Vayihi, is the Gemara's conclusion Vayihi is a bad word? Vayihi is a neutral word? What was the conversation of the Gemara? Did the Gemara not know that Nadav and Avihu died? That was bad? And yet at the same time, Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini is as great as Vayera v'yivokar when Hashem created the world. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the whole universe. So the Rechaim spends a lot of time clarifying how Vayehi is used, how Vayehi Bimei is used. It's okay. He has a parish here on Megillah Daf Yud. So if you want to read that Barichas, it's here for you to enjoy. He says at the end, if you go to the last paragraph before he starts the next Dibra Maschul Bayom, he says, it's obviously again the Gemara's answer of what's bad about Vayehi Bayom HaShmini is Misas Nadav Avihu. But he says there might be something else that's very tragic that's about to take place. And the more we understand and appreciate the tragedy, the more we'll appreciate the Midos Tovos of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is about to become an unbelievable role model for us in terms of having Midos Tovos. Which, you know, they may see us Omer, it's a good time to come to such a Avar. But what's the tragedy? Besides Misas Nadav Avihu, what's painful about Vayehi Bayom HaShmini? It's a Gevaldik day, HaKamas HaMishkan. So Rechaim HaKadosh says in the last paragraph, again of this first very long piece, V'ulai. Do you have the V'ulai as a separate paragraph? V'ulai nira'od. Ki atzar sheyagid ha-kosov hu shal Moshe ha-muskar be-kosov. The pain in the pasuk is Moshe's pain. Why is Moshe pained? What's painful for Moshe? Ki ra gedula so gedula zaro biad Aaron ubanov. Because he sees his godless, his greatness, a position that should have been his, namely Kahuna, and should have been for his children, he sees it being transferred now to who? To Aaron Ubanov. Vitzei ulamad tsar hakina midover tov ma'osa mimaisa banov shal Shimon HaTzadik. And he says we can learn from the Gemara's account of Shimon HaTzadik, we can see how a person who is mezgaber al kina, what a great thing it is, and we can see the flip side of how destructive kin is. I have another mission Pirkei Avos. Hakina va'taiva va'kavod motzien es ha'adam in ha'olam. That kina can destroy a person. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, v'yishtan ha'masha lefaneinu shahay salova lezara achrav. So let's think about what's happening here for Moshe and his children. Until now, for 7 days, Moshe has been involved in what? In preparing the Mishkan. And now he's about to give it over to Aaron Ubanov. Why did Moshe lose that godless? What's the source of Moshe's pain? Why did he lose the godless? Ulitzad shehifsir b'shlichus paro chara'apo bo bayom ahu va'ozo mihiyos kohen la'olam. It was because at the time that Hashem said to Moshe, I want you to go to Paro, Moshe refused and refused and refused and refused. By the snap, Shmos Paragimel. When Moshe refused and refused and refused and refused, Hashem says, you know what? Fine. You don't want to work for me? You're not going to work for me. I'm going to take away Kahuna, and I'm going to give it to Aaron. Ukishigia yom apikida nitzdar al asher parachimenu oz tiferes Kahuna solam. Very poetic lashon. So now when the day came, Moshe knew for a long time he was going to lose it. But now the day arrived where it was actually going to slip out of his hands. And on this day, Aaron is going to become the Kohen. Kahuna solam. Right? Kuna is not something you can buy into. Kuna is forever. He lost the tiferes, the splendor of what it means to be a Kohen of Hashem. And that's a painful thing, even for a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a great tzaddik, and Moshe was humble, and presumably he's very happy for his brother Aaron, but look what he says here. He's still a human being. Moshe's still a human being. First of all, as a human being, of course he's going to feel disappointed that he's losing such a privilege. Especially, it's not just stam of privilege, it's not just a kavod. It's not just tiferes and kavod for the sake of tiferes and kavod. It's the schus of a heilige mitzvah of kahuna. So to lose such a precious mitzvah, even though Moshe is an anav, even though he's a tzaddik, it hurt. And that's the Vayehi Bayom HaShmini. It's Moshe's pain that maybe the Torah is expressing here. V'ulai, ki tzar zeh ramzu ha-kosuv b'pasuk Vayehi Bayom Kalos Moshe Shu Atzmo Yom Zeh. It could be in Parshas Naso also when it says Vayehi Bayom Kalos Moshe. It was when Moshe completed his work. And again, it could be that Vayehi is also going on this. V'misas nadav aviv ramaz kam b'pasuk Vayehi Bayom HaShmini. It could be that the Vayehi, the pain of Moshe Rabbeinu, was hinted to in Parshas Naso, right? And the pain over here is really the pain, like the Gemara identifies, of the death of Nadav Avihu. But either way, you see that Moshe is hurting. He's losing a great kavod. Now, the very next piece, which we'll see in a second, Moshe Rabbeinu, despite losing that, shows unbelievable character, which we're going to see in a second. First, a comment from Rav David.
Yes.
Thank you for your patience.
Does anyone pick up on Vayhi B'yom, even though it's not
B'mei? Right, Vayhi B'yom, similar to Vayhi B'mei. Interesting. I mean, what's the Indian of Vayhi B'mei that it's bad, right? It's a very interesting hara.
B'mei just means like a time period.
Right? Happens to be the five examples the Gemara gives Megillah of Vayhi B'mei are bad. So that's how the Gemara knows. Vayhi B'mei must signal something bad. But could we say that Vayhi B'yom has a shayichus to Vayhi B'mei, and therefore we could, shtel tzu the two. Maybe.
It's also in Megillah Esther.
Yeah, right. That's one of the five. So Vayhi B'mei is always...
Maybe
it's the opposite. Right, maybe only Vayhi B'mei. Okay. All right. Tzarech Yom. Now, what's the chashivas of Moshe Rabbeinu? The pasuk says he calls Aaron, look carefully, Banav, and Zikne Yisrael. The first pasuk in the parsha. Moshe calls to Aaron, to his sons, and to the Zikne Yisrael. If you're losing such a chashiv thing like Moshe's losing the kahuna here, you would think Moshe would want, right? Or again, not Moshe, a normal human being would have a hard time really getting into someone else's simcha when it's coming at their own expense. And yet Moshe goes above and beyond in three different ways, says the Reish Chaim HaKadosh, to show that he's committed to Aaron taking the kahuna. Yes, there is the vayihi. He is personally disappointed. And perhaps the disappointment with himself, right? More than anyone else. Yeah? It's his own disappointment. It's his own frustration. With his own choice that he made and what it cost him now. But at the same time, he's unbelievably happy for Aaron, and he expresses it by the way that he appoints Aaron. Kara Moshe la'aron ulevanav ulezikne Yisrael. Da, you should know. Ki ha'osa davar kazeh sheyitin gedula hanodas lo lezulasim. When a person has gedula that was intended for him, and now it's being given to someone else. Luhiya achiv, even were it to be his brother, which it is in this case. Kasher yischayiv lasosa, when he's forced to transfer that position of authority to someone else, it's not pashut. Yeah? Obama didn't look so thrilled at Trump's inauguration. And I don't think he would have been so thrilled even if it was Hillary. Right? Lahavdil a million times over. It's not pasha for Moshe to give up the kahuna even to a chashuv person like Aaron HaKohen, his own brother. It's being taken away from him. It's hard. And therefore, it's normal that a person under such a circumstance who has to do such a thing, kasher yischayiv la'asosa, when he has to do this, lo yishlo benashu la'asosa b'gimel shleimuyos. It's understandable that in three qualitative ways, the person would not give it their all. In what three ways would a person not give it their all? Aleph, she'asena b'mihirus. Number one, the speed with which one is going to give up that which they love and hold so dear. The willingness to give it away quickly is not, right? So you can say, well, maybe the opposite, it's like a band-aid, you gotta just rip it off quickly. Okay, you could say such a thing. But you want to hold on to it, right? Every last second that it's yours, I want to hold on to it. So you're not going to give it over so quickly. Second of all, you're going to do it, if you have to transfer the power, and you can do it in steps, you would also do it in steps. You wouldn't give it in one shot, because that really hurts. In terms of the various components of the matter, you wouldn't necessarily compound them. You wouldn't want to do all those things at once, because that would really hurt. I want to spread it out. And not only in terms of the speed, but in terms of the different elements of what you're doing, you would want to divide it up. You would want to do it step by step. You'll see. He's going to explain what he means by each one. And hagimol asiyas hadavar b'pirsum lifnei rabim. And lastly, you'd want to make the transfer in a quiet way, without publicly announcing that I'm giving up something that I hold so dear. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his great strength, did all three things that a normal person wouldn't do. Number one, Kineged Amihiris Amar B'yom HaShmini. He didn't wait, he didn't stall, he didn't delay. with response to the speed with which he operated, the pasuk says, "Bayom Hashmini, perish, Bayom Hashmini, Bios Haboker Tohor Lev, Lo Ikev, Elatekav Karal Aaron Leseis Lo Kuhuna Velonis Atza." The second the eighth day arrived, right? Bayom Hashmini, the sun came up. Okay, Aaron, it's all yours. Not dragging his feet, taking his time, holding on for a couple more hours. He did not delay, he did not act with laziness. He immediately acted with alacrity to transfer the position to Aaron. Beis, also adavar b'tzeiruf, b'chinas ha'adragos, shenasen akun ala Aaron uvanav yachad. Right, so David said, what does that mean? What does it mean he did it, something of multiple steps he did it once? Yes, he appointed Aaron uvanav, as the pasuk says, he calls Aaron uvanav to inform them all together, you're all taking over. He didn't have to tell it to Aaron, Ubanov. He could have made it more slowly. Hagan ki b'zeh yigdal yitzavon. This is going to be more painful for him. Sheyira gedula moshechas to Aaron, Ubanov. He is reminding himself, you're never getting it back. It's Aaron's and his children's and his grandchildren's. He could have spread it out. He could have informed them separately. B'sher ye'atzev alibo yasa davar ba'draglos. When a person is pained by something, sometimes you do it step by step by step. You know, a person who has to come to terms with a loss. It's not the same type of example, but you know, imagine a person, a dear relative passes away, yeah? So now you have to go, you know, to this parent's home to clean out the house, right? So for many people, you know, you'll go for a little bit of time, you'll move some things around, and then you're not going to go and sell the house right away and give away all the stuff right away. Step by step by step to come to terms with the loss. So Moshe also, he could have dragged his feet in terms of the speed with which he operated. He could have spoken to Aaron, Ubanov separately. He didn't have to tell Aaron's children that second. He could have broken it up, but he did it all at once, right? Because he wanted to show that he was fully committed to this. He could have bitchila yikral Aaron v'achakach lebanav. He lo hayachreach b'kriyas habanim oz im Aaron. He didn't have to call them all together at once. And yet he did. And that's a midah tova of Moshe Rabbeinu. And lastly, he didn't make a private transfer. It wasn't done quietly. What does the pasuk say? Aaron u'levanav u'lezikney Yisrael. Moshe called together the Zikna Yisrael, b'matzav kol hazakenim, d'chsiv l'zikna Yisrael, lasos hadavar b'pumbi, b'fnei rabim v'nechbadim, to do it in public, to do it in the presence of great people, elevated and honorable people, v'zeh yoral shleimus haratzon lasos ritzono yisbarach v'kafa hargashosof. And this shows Moshe's absolute commitment to Hashem, and his willingness to suppress his own emotions, to do the Dvar Hashem, to carry out the Ratzon Hashem in the best possible way. It's a very chashuv piece. It's a very beautiful piece. And again, it's very matim for the Yemei sphere in which we find ourselves. Okay, Aaron is told, Kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatas. Aaron's going to take an egel. Interesting, Aaron's going to take an egel. Egel for a chatas. So you might say, it's the most obvious choice. You might say, it's the least obvious choice. It's the most obvious choice because maybe he needs kapara for the egel. So let an egel be mechafer for an egel. You might also say, ein kateger yasas an egel. That maybe I dafka shouldn't get involved with an egel because I already have a track record of getting involved with an egel. So the Rechaim HaKadosh uses this to once again try to express the innocence of Aaron. And he writes here, he says, V'yoma daf gimel, kach lecha egel, V'yoma daf gimel, diktigu achar sha'amar ve'el b'nei Yisrael, kach lecha, lamali, move on hu sha'egel lo. So from the fact that the psukim describe karbanos for take for yourself, Aaron, it really means take for yourself. The Gemara says, this is not brought on behalf of Aaron, this is brought from Aaron. Aaron, you pay for it. You're in charge of this egel. The egel is yours. What does it mean the eagle is yours? V'darshu shabal lomar sheyikach mishalo v'lo mishal tibor. This is not going to be sponsored by Klal Yisrael. Why? So he says, Odin yira lomar. You can put the two together. Furthermore, we can explain what the lacha is. And the lacha, again, the two lacha, the way Chazal darshan the lacha in Gemara Yoma, that Aaron's paying for this eagle, as opposed to the carbon of Bnei Yisrael, fits very well with the hashkafa that he's about to say, why Aaron is bringing an eagle. O nira lomar ki omro lecha ki zayya lo laos olam ki lo asa hu ha'egel bekavana chas v'shalom. The fact that Aaron could bring an egel lechatas. What's a chatas? When does a person bring a carbon chatas? For what type of avera?
Shogeg.
So the fact that Aaron's going to bring an egel achatas, it must be what? It must be that the egel that he got involved with was shogeg. We can't hold him accountable. If the egel was amazing, if Aaron knew what he was doing by chet ha-egel, there's no way he could bring an egel now lechatas. So therefore, lecha, this is for you. This is going to what? Stand to testify about your character, Aaron. This is going to find you innocent. Through the bringing of this egel, your innocence will be proclaimed. Lecha, this is for you. Lo os olam, ki lo asa hu ha-egel bekavana chas v'shalom. Velo ta achrav, you did not stray after the egel the way that other members of Klal Yisrael strayed after the egel. El shaba al yado below kavana uvelo machshav hara. Your involvement with the egel was not evil, it was not wicked, it was not with bad intention. And therefore you can bring an egel as kapara. Masha'in kein Yisrael. What was the chatas that Klal Yisrael bring in the very next pasuk? Vel b'nei Yisrael tadabar leimor kachu si'ir izim lachatas. B'nei Yisrael can't bring an egel lachatas. B'nei Yisrael is not as innocent. They can't bring an egel. Masha'in kein Yisrael. Letzad shema'aseyim ve'egel hu b'chinas ha'mezin. For B'nai Yisrael to bring an egel for a chatas would be what? Would be a prosecutor against them. An ein kategor nasa san egel. You can't bring a karban chatas for something that that you're held accountable for in a very significant way. So now, says the Rechaim, so what are we going to do with the fact that Aaron can't wear the big day zahav on Yom Kippurim lifnai v'lifnim? If Aaron is so innocent, so why can't he wear gold in the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom HaKippurim? So he says, he goes on and he explains, I'm just going to paraphrase till the end of the paragraph because there's a lot to see here this week. He says, because his involvement with the egel, we could claim was shogeg. Meaning the creation of the egel, if you remember, when he threw the block of gold into the fire, and all of a sudden, he saw Vayar Aaron, and Aaron saw an egel, he was shocked. Parshas Ki Sisa. Right? Aaron didn't construct the egel specifically. He didn't want to make an egel. He was just trying to stall to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. So in terms of the Vayetze ha-egel, the egel emerged on its own, the pasuk says, Vayar Aaron, Aaron was surprised. Back in Parshas Ki Sisa. However, what about the gold? The gold, the Maisa, the gold, Aaron said, bring me your gold. He did say, bring me your gold. Ah, but he did so to save his life because they murdered Chor. Ah, he was trying to delay, he was trying to stall so Moshe Rabbeinu would come back. Okay, but Enochanami. The bottom line is he collected the gold for the egel. And he did it, and he knew what he was doing when he collected the gold. He was still hoping, again, that the gold would never come to... But he collected the gold with the intention of collecting gold. And therefore, he can't claim that same degree of innocence. As opposed to B'nai Yisrael, even the egel itself was less innocent, and therefore their karban, their chatas, cannot even be an egel. Okay, but again, it comes to defend Aaron, and again, if you read through the piece carefully on Pasuk Beis, you'll see some of the klalim and some of the important discussion about that Talmudic principle of Ein Kategor Yasa Sanegar and how we apply it and when we apply it. Okay? Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel Vel B'nai Yisrael Tadaber Lemur. Aaron, you should tell B'nai Yisrael to bring the karban. The Rechaim's curious, why does Aaron need to tell B'nai Yisrael to bring the karban? Why can't Moshe tell B'nai Yisrael to bring the karban? It's an unusual, for the way that the Torah normally presents, it's unusual that Moshe tells Aaron to tell B'nai Yisrael something. Tzarech ledas, matam yedaber kan Aaron li Yisrael v'lo Moshe haragil? Why doesn't Moshe speak to B'nai Yisrael like he always does? Why does Moshe tell Aaron, you tell B'nai Yisrael that they need to bring karbanos? So again, similar to what we just explained, v'ulai, ki litzad sh'omer lahem l'mi zov hisparku, it could be that just like Aaron told them what, I want you to bring gold, so Aaron opened his mouth to get B'nai Yisrael into a bit of trouble by the egel, l'zeh yitzav Hashem elov ki adabra lahem l'havi kapara series, the same way you told them, Aaron, with your mouth, to bring the gold for the egel, so now I want you with your mouth to tell them to bring the seer izim for the kapara. Hapesha aser hu hapesha hiter. Little ksubis chazar for those who've been in Hawaii for a couple of years. Hapesha aser hu hapesha hiter. Right, the same mouth that caused trouble, the way that translating very loosely. Right? But the mouth that prohibited is the mouth that permits. Meaning what? The same mouth that got Bnei Yisrael in trouble should be the same mouth that teaches them how to get kapara. Ukvar kesavnu v'kam makomos divrei chazal. Ki acher yafil ha-ganai b'makomo. That sin leaves a mark in its place. V'atikun tzarach liyos mechuvan kenegdo. And therefore the tikun has to come from the same thing. Give me a Hilchos Pesach Yeridaya Halacha that says the same thing. Oh, okay, fine. Like we spoke about, yeah. You can only make matzah out of something that can become chametz. Okay, but I'm thinking in terms of kasher and kalim. What's the klal?
The way it goes in
is the way it comes out. Kabolo, the way that it's absorbed. Kach polto is the way that it is expunged. The way that it goes in is the way that it goes out. So if you cook over fire, you have to get it out with fire. If you cook with water, you have to get it out with hot water. Right? So there's a midah kenegan midah that's very precise in the world in terms of the averus that we do and the mitzvahs we do. And this is also, it's a chashuv yisod in terms of our own tshuva. If I know that I violated Hashem's will with great passion, so that means I have to serve with great passion. That's the tikkun. If I violated Hashem's will with a certain kriris, a certain coldness, so then I have to turn a cold shoulder to the Yetzer Hara. I have to use whatever the midah that I use in a negative way, whatever, and again, very matim for Sfiras HaOmer, chesed, gvura, teferes, different spheros, different emotions. So if I use the midah of chesed in a destructive way, so now I have to be attacking in chesed in a good way. Chesed in the Torah sometimes means arayos. So if I committed an act of arayos, so then I should be mechaper, maybe with an act of chesed, of real chesed, of emistic chesed. Maybe that's a kapara. But again, his point is, as he says many times, that an avera leaves a mark in its place, and the tikkun has to be precise. And that's why Aaron is being told to speak to Bnei Yisrael. He goes on, he says a further pshat, v'hu omro to daber lemor. This is, again, just to finish the first pshat, this is to daber lemor, perish, to daber dibur sheyesh bo mailu uzchus kenege dibur shahaya bo hashpala, asher para bo asam. Speak to them positive words the same way you cause destruction for Klaus. Fine. Od nira, further pshat, ki litzad sh'ola Aaron b'malah ha'nifla ha'laz mitoch chol Yisrael bo b'char Hashem. That at this moment that Aaron is being selected to become, like he said several times, Kunas Olam, Lizeh Amar Elav Moshe, Shidaber Yisrael Amiros Rakus. Aaron, you just took on this position of Kahuna. You should become someone who speaks gentle words to Bnei Yisrael. V'hu Omer Lamor. That's why it says Lamor. I want you, Aaron. Now, is he saying that what? That Moshe is a little bit agitated? Like it's a cranky day for Moshe, you know, because he lost the kahuna, so he's in a bad mood. So like, you should speak, Aaron, because you'll be able to say it nicer. Is that what he's saying by Amiros Rakos? But Amira Lemor is a lashon of delicate speech. So Aaron, now that you've been selected, you should speak soothing words to Bnei Yisrael. These are soothing words. Because they're being told that there can be a kapar for the eagle. Not eagle tachas eagle, because there's an element of mazed by the eagle. But you could bring a carbon chatas. I want you. I don't tell them. Hashem is going to appear to you. Not everything is lost. And I want you, Bnei Yisrael, to realize that it's in your schus that Hashem is going to appear. And I want Aaron, who just became appointed, to realize, as great as he is now, it's still always b'schus Klal Yisrael. And this is something we've seen several times in Orach Chaim HaKadosh. That he always says that the success of our leaders is entirely dependent upon the Jewish people. Perish, kol ha-musag v'chol ha-ratzon eina elo litzad Yisrael. All of the madregos that you've attained, Aaron, remind yourself, by talking to Bnei Yisrael, remind yourself it's all b'schus Klal Yisrael. Kovra aleichem v'lo li. Like the Pasuk says, tell Bnei Yisrael that the Shekhinah is going to appear to them. Shekhinah is not going to appear to me, to you, the individual. It's going to appear to Klal Yisrael. Like we've seen, Kederach Shematzino Shamar Moshe Yisrael, Halo Kolz Machai Yisrael Nizufim Lo Dibra Hashem Moshe. The whole time Bnei Yisrael were what? Were excommunicated. Hashem was angry at them. So Moshe lost his divine inspiration. He lost the Dibar of Hashem. Hashem wasn't communicating with him. And he concludes the piece, Ki kol ha-musag einu el litzad malas Yisrael. All attainment, all success. The reason that we say b'shem kol Yisrael is because b'emes, everything is b'shem kol Yisrael. It's b'shus klal Yisrael, nishmas Yisrael, whatever term you want to use to express it. But the Shechina, Befrat, here, Hashras HaShechina, what is Shechina? Klal Yisrael is Shechina, right? Knesset Yisrael is another name for Shechina. So the Shechina is dafka coming b'zchus Klal Yisrael, and you should know that very well, Aaron HaKohen. Okay, now we come to an amazing piece. Let's skip a piece and we'll go to Pasuk Vav, where again the Pasuk says to them, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh hadavar asher tiva Hashem ta'asu, Vayera aleichem kevod Hashem. Moshe said, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded you to do, then the glory of Hashem will appear to you. This is a very chashuv piece. Making yourself a kli for Hashras HaShechina. Zeh hadavar. What's the zeh hadavar? This is the thing you should do, and then you'll be zochet to Hashras HaShechina. What's the thing? So you might say, well, just read the Pesukim. These are karbanos that are being described in the Pesuk. Bring the karbanos and you'll have Hashras HaShechina. He quotes Rashi, and I'll give anyone $10 if they can show me where this Rashi is. It's not in our editions of Rashi. That's why I'm making such an offer. We don't have this Rashi in, we don't have any Rashi in Pasuk Vav. Zeh HaDavar, Tzarech L'das Mahu HaDavar. What's the thing that's going to bring the Shechina? V'Rashi Peirish Al HaKrovas Aaron. The thing is the karbanos. Bring the karbanos and that brings the Shechina. V'Ein Zeh Pshat Maimer Kosov Shomer Tasu. But it doesn't make sense to say that Tasu, what you Bnei Yisrael are doing, is a reference to Aaron's karban. So what's the Tasu? What did Bnei Yisrael do in order to be worthy of Hashras HaShechina? Excuse me. It must be that the Tasu is going on what it said in Pasuk Hay. What did it say in one Pasuk earlier? Pasuk Hay? Bnei Yisrael gathered together and they stood lifnei Hashem. It does not say Dikdei Kakas of Lomar lifnei Hashem. The pasuk was precise that it said lifnei Hashem v'lo Amar lifnei Ol Moed. It did not say they stood before the meeting tent. It did not say they stood before the Mishkan. It said they stood before God. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, as he's going to quote in a moment. They stood before Hashem. Gam lo hayitzarach lomar sheri amr b'samuk v'yichu al pnei Ol Moed. It's obviously not just talking about standing in front of the Ol Moed, because it says that. The pasuk says that. So what's the lifnei Hashem? El yirtzo lomar sheichinu atzman be'erech ha-shleimus va'amuskal va'arachas amidosam shehi lifnei Hashem. That they prepare themselves spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, to prepare themselves fully to stand before Hashem. U'bechina zo hi hasagas tachlis ha-shleimus. That is the ultimate madrega a Jew can try to achieve in this world. To be lifnei Hashem. Yom Kippur, we're lifnei Hashem. It's the heights of what a man can achieve in this world. To achieve a sense of complete shleimus that I'm standing before Hashem. As David Melech says, Shuvisi Hashem lenegdi tamid halavai. To always be before Hashem. That's what we're striving for. To realize that I live in Hashem. The world is Hashem. I am Hashem. My neshama is Hashem. I'm surrounded by Hashem. The breath of air in my body is Hashem. Everything is Hashem. Ein od levado. But to be fully aware of that, that's a very chashuv thing. Ki bezeh lo yimot mimino shehi haTorah. Because when a person lives in that way, then he'll be absolutely true to the Torah. He's paraphrasing the end of the pasuk, right? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. What's the end of the pasuk? That the Amin shall not falter. Right? The Amino lo tim baltimot. So he's saying here, Bezel lo yimot mi Amino shiator. That by being in the presence of Hashem, you'll be true, the right side won't fall. It means the Torah won't collapse. The principles of the Torah will be upheld. Ki ein yeshiva saladim tunu osav v'chulu, ki yeshivaso v'chulu v'nei melech. A person who what? The sitting or standing before a king sits differently, stands differently, acts differently. When we call Shekhan Lifnei Melech Malchei Amlachim. Recognize this quote? Where's this from? Ein Yeshivaso Shel Adam. It's the first Ramban, Shulchan Aruch. Where do you get it from? It's the Ramban, the Mor Nevuchim. U'kishehischem Moshe b'maisa zeh amar lahem zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asim. Look what he's saying here. Look how he's reading the pasuk. Zeh hadavar, this thing. That you made yourselves of Nei Hashem, that's what Hashem is really commanding you to do. That's everything that Hashem's commanding you to do. That's the entire story of the Jewish people. That's the entire life of a Yid. Tziva Hashem shetasu aso. This is what you're supposed to do. Shetiyu tamid ma'arichim b'daitachem ki atem omdim lefnei Hashem. To see yourself as constantly standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayera eilechem kavod Hashem. And then guess what? When you do that, Hashras HaShechina. Then you're living a divinely inspired life. Of course, Hashras HaShechina. Furthermore, a second pshat. It could be Od Yechavin Bechlal Omer Lifnei Hashem. You know what else it means to be Lifnei Hashem? What stops us from being Lifnei Hashem? Averos. Averos builds walls. If you remember Elul time, we were learning about how when a person does Averos and more Averos and more Averos, right, it becomes a bigger and bigger wall. And the more I can, more quickly I can remove that wall. Remember the Avodas Pnim? We touched on it also, I think, in the Geras Teshuva. Is that this year?
Yeah.
Sounds like,
yeah.
It feels like years ago. Right? But the quicker you can tear down that Avera, the thinner a wall it will be. If you allow the Averas to compound, it becomes a thick wall. So therefore, Shalohaya Masach Mavdil Bein Amlevein Hashem, don't allow your Averas to be a barrier. Like the Navi Yeshayah says, Avonoseichem Hayu Mavdilim V'gomer V'zeyagit Shahayu Shalemim V'Hashem. And therefore, what he's saying to them is, again, Bnei Yisrael are feeling sensitive about what happened with the ego. And they're feeling maybe not so confident. And now Hashem is saying, listen, you can tear down those walls. There doesn't have to be barrier. And they did tear down the wall. They were Lifnei Hashem. Not they could, they did. They were Lifnei Hashem. And with this we understand the Pasuk very well. He gives another pshat. He says, after this, I found in a Medrash, another pshat. The Medrash says, Zeh Adavar, Mahu Zeh Adavar, Alamila. Bris Mila. Bris Mila. Who got a Bris Mila in Parsha Shemini? He says, this Medrash is very strange to me. Just like it says Zeh Adavar by Moshe, by Yeshua, giving the national circumcision, so too it says Zeh Adavar, so Klai still got Bris Mila. He said, what Mila? What are you talking about? V'divrei Medrash Stumim v'chasumim. V'chi bo'oso yom malos ha-Moshe, bo'oso yom tziva al-Mila. What Mila? What are you talking about? So he says another amazing thing. You know what Mila? Arlas Halev. Achein akavana hi al arlas liba. Shudavar amav ben Yisrael ben Avim Shmash Shemayim. They removed the arla of the heart, the blockage of the heart. So look how they were before Hashem in body, in soul, in spirit, in terms of their sinful behavior, it had been rectified. In every sense, they were mamash standing before Kadosh Baruch. And he says, I found another medrash that says this more explicitly, and I put the two medrashim together, and that's for sure the pshat here. They didn't actually have bris milah on that day, but what? That they had an arlas halev. They circumcised the blockage of the heart to allow themselves to be truly lifnei Hashem. And again, a person who's lifnei Hashem is zochet hashras hashchina. A person dwells in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, gets hashras hashchina. Okay, pasuk zayin says v'chiper ba'ad chu ba'ad ha'am. Again, it's linking the kapara of Aaron to the kapara of Klal Yisrael, and that goes in both directions. That Klal Yisrael needed Aaron's kapara in order to have their kapara, and vice versa. Aaron has to be reminded that all of his greatness is b'schus Klal Yisrael. Let's go to Pasuk Ches. Here's a very good Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Vayikrav Aaron el ha-Mizbeach. It's mamash yisod ha-stik. And Aaron drew close to the Mizbeach, and he brought his chatas, and he brought his carbon, he dips his finger in the blood, and he sprinkles some blood. However, how does a carbon work? Mamish Yisod Gadol in the Sar Chaim Kadosh. How do carbonos work? You do an Aveira, and then you throw an animal on the Mizbeach. That seems really fair. Little Shepsla, come, we're going somewhere. Where are we going? I have to kill you because I did an Aveira. What does that do with me?
He's just getting involved right now.
Right? But even putting aside the feelings we have for Shepsala, how is Mechaper for the person? So we know that when you bring the carbon, you're supposed to think that I should have been the carbon, you're supposed to feel bad. It still doesn't shtim, it doesn't add up. So look what he writes. He says, the Yerushalmi, and Mako says, Shalhu l'nevua, chote ma'oncho, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, that they ask Nevua, what happens when a person does an Avera? Amr ha nefesh achotas he tamos. Nevua says, the one who sins deserves to die. Well, it's ad rachmi Hashem amr yavi karbon. But Hashem in His rachmanis allows us to bring a karbon. She'ikar maisa karbon hu machsheves hamakir. Because really, you know what the main part of the karbon is? The animal goes on the altar, but you also have to emotionally put yourself on the altar. The ikar karbon is the machshav of the person. Ki hu achayev kachol amaisa sher yeyase bekarbon. How? Lizavach, lihisareif, aliishim. That everything that's happening to this karbon should be happening to you, the slaughtering and the burning on the fire. And that machshava, that intention that a person has when he brings the animal, is the essence of the karbon. But still, it doesn't add up. So first of all, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Vayikrav Aaron Mizbeach. Pasha pshat means Aaron drew close to the Mizbeach. But it also means Vayikrav Aaron El Hamizbeach, that Aaron put himself on the karbon, made himself a karbon. Aaron put himself, he drew himself close to the Mizbeach. Which means he didn't just drop off his karbanos. I mean, again, he's the one who's processing the karbanos. But he didn't just give the animal and call it a day. Emotionally, Aaron put it all out there on the Mizbeach. Vayikrav Aaron El Hamizbeach. Perish hu atmo heichin lasum osham nafsha. He bore the brunt of his iniquity. The car of the Mizbeach perished with Zvicha La'ishim. Kilo, he has been slaughtered and burnt. And yet, practically, he didn't slaughter himself. He slaughtered the animal, the Egel, in its place, as the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for. Yeah.
This is El, not
O. Correct. He drew himself close to the Mizbeach, which means, again, he didn't actually put himself on, but as close as one can come, right, without actually killing oneself. Which meant that he gave himself emotionally over entirely. But again, it still doesn't add up. How does the sheep mechaper for a person? So he says an amazing thing. Look at this. V'ra'isi l'seis slave b'inyan l'fi masha kodem ladu. Ki nishba Hashem l'hamida olam uruah b'mishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my world is a world of midas hadin. Which means the pieces have to add up. That's how Hashem runs His world. As stated in the Medrash Tanchuma Parsha Shoftim. V'chol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ashron yavatru b'nei me'av. And a person who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vatron. What's a vatron? He overlooks things. Mevater. Let it slide. A person who says that Hashem lets things slide. Yavatru b'nei me'av. Hashem should let his innards, his kishkas, Hashem shall let his intestines be overlooked. Remember the mashal from the Dumna Magid? Who remembers it? No one? The mashal from the Dumna Magid is, there was once a poor man who was making a chasna for his daughter. There's a similar, he goes to Yerushalmi, what's the Mayer Makam Yavir?
Yerushalmi
Shkolim. Yeah, that's what I have also. Yerushalmi Shkolim Perakai Allah Aleph. There's a similar Gemara in Bava Kama. Uses a similar lashon that a person who says Hashem is mevater, so Hashem should stop paying attention to his intestine, his intestines. Why? Why is intestine? What's the pshat? Yivatru b'nei me'av. His kishka. So the Dumna Magid explained with a mashal. He said there was a rich man who was making a chasna for his daughter. There was a poor man making a chasna for his daughter, and the poor man didn't have much. The rich man, being the big shot that he was, remember, he comes to he rents out the middle of town square and he builds this big tent and this unbelievable, you know, brings out the best caterer and they're setting up and it's magnificent, you know, this beautifully illuminated tent where the chasna is going to be. The poor guy's thinking like, I'm going to whatever, I'll get some herring and do it in my backyard. And he comes to see what's doing by this big tent of the rich man, and he walks in and he sees the tables so lavishly set and he can't believe it. He looks by each place setting, he says there's like three forks and two spoons and two knives and three different cups and a big plate and a little plate and he says, he goes over to one of the waiters and he says, listen, I'm making a chasna for my daughter. I see this rich guy has so much extra. Do you think I could take a couple of the forks and the spoons and the knives? I mean, I see by every place setting there's like multiple forks. So the waiter starts laughing at this poor guy. He says, Nebuch, you don't understand. He says, what, do you think this is a one-course meal? He says, the little fork is for the fish. And then the medium-sized fork is for the salad. And the big fork is for the steak. And this knife is to spread the butter, and this knife is to cut the steak. And the little spoon is for the palate cleanser in between the courses. And the big spoon is for the soup. Right? And then there's the dessert spoon. And this glass is for white wine. And this glass is for red wine. And this is for water. There's nothing extra here. This is all part of a set. This is one place setting. So Dumna Magid said, Imagine someone came over to a person, right? I said, you know, I'm having some intestinal issues. And I went on Wikipedia. And I saw that the intestine is actually like 30 feet long inside of a person. So I was wondering if I could just like, you know, take like 1 foot of your intestine. You have 30 feet of such, of so much extra. That's like so long. So maybe I can take like a little piece. I'll still have like a ton.
It's not extra.
Exactly. So you say to the person, that's not extra. This is one set. This is one piece. So that's the pshat. When a person says that Hashem is mevater, Hashem doesn't really care about this one little detail of the Torah. So you say, really? So would you mind if someone took one little piece from your set? One little piece of your very long intestine? Maybe just cut out a little slice? Oh, Hashem doesn't, this is like an important halacha, this is like, no one does that. It's a set. The Shulchan Aruch is a set. It's one big set. The table is set. Shulchan Aruch, the table is set. The Torah and Mitzvot, it's one entity. It's one big package deal. We don't add on, we don't subtract. Sukkim and Parshas Veschanan. Yeah? So that's the pshat. That's the mashal from the Dubna Magen. Why? A person who says Hashem is mevater. So we say to him, yeah, you want to be mevater? Hashem lets things slide? So we're gonna overlook part of your, part of the functioning of part of your body, where you can say, oh, there's so much extra. Okay, good. So now, coming back. So Hashem, if you run the world with Midas Adin, and you don't let anything slide, so why is Shepsala a fair kapara for Yankala who sinned? If it's fair, like the Navi says, that the sinner should die, so how does a carbon work? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it makes a lot of sense. Because when you sinned, you weren't a person, you were a shepsala. When you did the aver, you were an animal. You were an animal. Al derech omrim ein adam over aveir alam kim nichtas bo ruach shus. At the moment that you sinned, you were not a human being. Good, no? V'nasa behema, you became an animal. U'viyom shechazer b'tshuva ruach hi be'enosh. When you do tshuva, you're a person again. V'olam v'adregas behema v'adregas adam. When you did tshuva, you're a person. So now the person, as a person, you never did milavera. The person doesn't need any more kapara. But the part of you that acts like an animal needs kapara. Hayim ro'ayu lahamis adam zetachas behema. Amazing limus chasan kala yisrael. So now what, you're going to kill a person because of an animal's avera? You are the animal. So you bring that which corresponds to the sin itself, to the sinner itself. You bring an animal. And you add the emotional component like we explained previously. You feel the pain of the animal. You feel emotionally, I deserve to be on there. And the combination of the two brings kapara. And he says, this is the secret of the pasuk. Adamu v'heima toshiyah Hashem. Ay, mishpatecha tohom rabba. Adamu v'heima toshiyah Hashem. Your mishpat is very deep. And therefore it is very precise. Because adamu v'heima toshiyah Hashem. It's a gevaldic explanation of how karbanos work in general. Yes, Danny.
So I was curious why specifically Danny. So it's
only
like Lisa mentioned that bring barley because...
She acted like an animal, right?
Yeah, not like
by old bones. Right, right. There's an extra... I guess the ultimate example, right, where that even after she's, that even the Adam has to bring an animal offering. I guess the ultimate animalistic act, and really I guess the shorish of this concept, of Ein Adam over Avera, Ki Nechlas Bo Ruach Shtus, is really the Sota. So I guess by the Sota we highlight that much more, even as she's being Mechaper, right, her carbon, again, when the person brings an animal, you're saying there's me and then there's the animal. Right? And now that the me has done tshuva, so I'm not the animal. But there was once I was once an animal, so I need to bring an animal for an animal. Here by the Isha Sota, we're saying, no, you as a woman still acted like an animal. And this karma which is associated with you, the person, the woman, is still animal food. So there it's like an extra, it's like an extra shtuch to the woman that like, even as a person, she has to feel, the weightiness of her animalistic act. But here we're saying, no, the person's closer to being a person. The person's closer to tshuva. separately has to bring an animal for the animalist again. But I guess it's highlighting again really the shorish of this limud, the ishasota, which is really the root of this idea that it's such an animalistic act when a person does such an avera. I guess by her maybe there's like a little bit of an extra element of reminding her, even the carbon that's associated with her as a person is still the carbon of an animal, the barley, which is animal food. Maybe. Okay, good. All right, it's getting a little late. Perek Yud, Nadav and Avihu die. The famous piece of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh about Nadav and Avihu's death is not here. It's in Parshas Achremos. Achremos Shnei Bnei Aaron. So in Achremos, we'll come back to the death of Nadav and Avihu and see how, really, as much as it is an Aveira and Chazal are critical, there was a very holy element to their sin of bringing this this carbon, Asher Lo Tziva Hashem, this Eish Zara that was not requested. Okay, it's an important, the fact that these tzaddikim didn't get away with it is also an important thing for us to think about. You look in Pasuk Beis, just a short little piece, Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, he says, Vayamusu Lifnei Hashem. That even though they were doing something holy Lifnei Hashem, Vayamusu. A tzaddik also has to answer. And a tzaddik can't say, well, you know, I'm a tzaddik, so therefore I get to beat the system. He says, Ulai Shiyimos Tam Misasam. The reason that it makes it clear that they died, even doing a holy thing, is to teach us that you don't mess around with the Mishkan. You can't do whatever you want. Shulahafchi Lira Mina Mishkan. That even these holy ones, the children of Aaron, tzaddikim, doing a holy act in the Mishkan, but it wasn't requested by Hashem, it was an Eish Zara, and therefore they paid the price. And Arachas Kam V'Kamba, the limud is that those of us who are not on such a high level, right, shouldn't think that we're going to beat the system. No one beats the system. Even the tzaddikim, right, who have lofty kavanos and are somewhat nichshal, and again, exactly what the aver is he talks about here and later in Parshat Achremos, but no one beats the system. There's a midas hadin in the world, and a person should be aware of it. And a person has to respect the Mishkan. Yeah?
So, where's the difference in, like, us coming again to, like, call God and say they were wrong, versus, like, the Torah?
Asher Tziva Hashem. Do what Hashem tells you to do. Don't make up extra things.
No, but if you assume that a Gadol or a Tzaddik is always doing Hashem and they know more within the will of Hashem,
right,
theoretically, than you, then how
okay.
One of us.
It's a good question. Right, the somersault. It's a good question. Back to the somersault, right? It's a good question. It's a good question. He explains Zara Asher Lo Tziva, the paragraph right before that. That had they taken the fire in a different way, maybe it wouldn't have been Zara. They created a new avoda, but tried to. That's the difference. When you do a somersault, that's a chiddush. That's off the charts, right? When the Piazetzer did a somersault for Hashem, that's a different type of chiddush. But for you to go and say, no, we're gonna in a place where you know it's always been done this way, we're gonna start doing it a different way. That's already Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Hashem. Now again, they died a holy death. But to start changing and start tampering with, you know, within the system and say, no, this is the new norm. Kihilu was always this way. This is how we offer in Kodesh Kadosh. And no, it's not. And they paid the price for that. So that could be a chiluk. That could be a possible chiluk. Okay? The remainder of Perek Yud talks about dealing with the karbanos in light of the fact that now Aaron and the remaining children, Elazar and Itamar, are now mourners, and Aaron's silence in the face of his tragedy. Okay, it's pretty technical, the remainder of Perek Yud. So let's go to Perek Yud Aleph and get in a few final points. So again, just so you have in your head a clear, flow of the Parsha. Perek Tes is Aaron and his son are appointed, and Bnei Yisrael and Aaron bring their karbanos. Perek Yud, Nadav and Avihu die, and we deal with the karbanos in light of that death. And Perek Yud Aleph, the entire Perek, goes to the end of the Perek, talks about the halachos of kashrus. Okay, so let's see some of the things with regard to forbidden and permitted creatures. Okay, the parak begins Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron lemor aleham. Why is Hashem speaking to Moshe and Aaron? Or Chaim Kadosh is curious. He says it could be that Moshe and Aaron were equally assigned the shlichus of teaching Bnei Yisrael about prohibited and permitted foods. Why dafka here Aaron is given this equal assignment to Moshe Rabbeinu is a good question. But he says maybe that's the pshat. El Moshe ve'el Aaron is to create them, is to make them as equals. In the next paragraph, Lemur Aleihem, he says a very interesting thing. He says Lemur Aleihem might be teach Elazar and Itamar, the remaining children of Aaron, that they should also, it sounds like everyone has to like, you know, be mechazik this inyan of making sure people eat kosher. That it's not just Moshe, it's Aaron, it's Aaron's sons, and there's a lot of effort that has to go into ensuring the kashrus of Klai. So we'll see why. Maybe it'll become clear in a couple of minutes why that's so. But then he says, Lemur Aleihem, he says, maybe another pshat, Lemur Aleihem, based on a cryptic comment in the Medrash that says that what? That says that when Hashem would speak, every time Hashem would speak, a malach would be created through that speech, and then the malach would talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. You ever hear this? Hashem would speak, a malach was created through that speech, and then that malach would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, maybe that's the lemur here. That this lemur aleihem is that the malach is going to speak to Moshe and Aaron. Well, again, why dafka here? He's emphasizing this. Is a good question. And then El B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk says, right, to speak to B'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Beis, Dabru El B'nei Yisrael lemur. Speak to B'nei Yisrael saying, again, another lemur? What's another lemur? So he says, this lemur might not be lemur as saying. This lemur might be a lashon of what? Of praise. He writes on Pasuk Beis, Perikir Aleph Pasuk Beis, El B'nei Yisrael Lemur, Amar Tevas Lemur, Yirtze Ki Mitzvah Zo, Hi Bechina HaMailov HaKavod Lahem. What else does Aleph Mem Resh mean? We've said many times. It means a lashon of endearment. Right? That the Aaron's children are to bless B'nei Yisrael Birchas Kohanim. What does it say? What does it say? Ko Savarchos B'nei Yisrael Amor Lahem. Amor Lahem. V'reiches Amo Yisrael Ba'ava. To bless Klal Yisrael with Ava. There's an Ava, there's an element of Ava. Es Hashem Ha'emarcha Hayom. Es Hashem Ha'emarta Hayom. Es Hashem Ha'emircha Hayom. Right? It's a lashon of endearment, of chashivas. Aleph Mem Resh means to love or to endear or to give praise and distinction to. So El B'nei Yisrael Lemur, you know what makes Klal Yisrael distinct? Chavra. The fact that we spend time checking our lettuce. Seriously. The fact that we check our lettuce before we eat it. The fact that I spent a long time washing lettuce last night to make a salad. Hashem says that's what makes you special. El B'nei Yisrael Lemur. Lishamer midvar matmeim, to avoid eating bugs. To avoid tamei foods. Amar Rabbi Shimon, what's his hour? Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Amar v'yamoded eretz. Amar v'yamoded eretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rose up and measured the earth. Madar Hashem es kol ha'umos. V'lo matza uma shiru'uya v'chulu. Hashem says, I checked all the nations and there's only one nation that I saw as fit as Klal Yisrael. Right? And that is Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people are the only ones. It's Hashem Ha'amir Chayom. Hashem says, you're so great in my eyes. U'peirish tevas lemur kan, hu al derech imru tzadik. Sing praise to the tzadik. Imru tzadik means praise the tzadik. So tell B'nai Yisrael how special they are. That they are given this mitzvah of not eating lobster, of not eating cheeseburgers, of not eating rabbits. Tell them how special it is that they are going to guard their souls in this way. Very interesting. Could be that the word zos, of course, means to point to something. And it could be that he showed them each creature and said, this you can eat and this you can't eat. This you're allowed to eat, this you're not allowed to eat. First, the Torah says, zos hachaya, this is the animal that you're allowed to eat. Right? Zos hachaya, these are the animals that your category of animals, asher tochlu, mikol habehema. This is the chaya, you can eat all behemah. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh. Why are you calling it a chaya if it's a behemah? So he writes in the next Dibra Maschel, Zos HaChaya, Tam Shemachan Hashem Chaya L'Behemah. Why are you calling a behemah a chaya? Because a kosher animal is a source of chai, is a source of life. When you eat kosher food, it gives you chiyas. When you eat tamei things, it damages your soul. And therefore, yes, it's a behemah. It is a domesticated animal. But it's called a chayim milashon chay. It's a source of true chayim. Okay? What's included in that? Pasuk says, anything with split hooves, anything that chews its cud. And now we come to one of the most famous archaims in the Parsha. Not necessarily something that, although maybe a little bit, al derech avoda, you can learn something from it. But it's a well-known archaim, and it's super interesting. It's the archaim that says, I'll tell you what he's about to say in Pasuk Gimel, it's the archaim that says that in the future, pigs are going to be kosher. You've heard this archaim? That the pig is going to change its ways. It's called the chazir because it's going to be chozer v'tshuva. Be a good Sunday shir. I've been wanting for a while to give this as a Sunday shir. Maybe this Sunday. The whole Indian of pigs in the future. Stern?
Why would pigs fly?
Look what he says. The pasuk says, Kol mafreses parsa v'shoshas shesa perosas malasgera b'behema osa tuchelu. It says that everything amongst the animals with split hooves that chews its cud. So Chazal said, well, there's one animal that has split hooves that doesn't chew its cud. It's a pig. But the pasuk says kol. It almost makes it sound like any animal with split hooves will chew its cud. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, yes, that's correct. Yisbar al derech Omer Mzal. Kol behema shemafreses parsa himalas geiru. The Gemara says, every animal that has split hooves chews its cud, chutz min hachazir, with the exception of the pig. Split hooves. And yet the pasuk says, kol mafreses malas geiru. But he says, but the pasuk says, all that have split, right, chew its cud. So the Rechaim says, yes, even the pig will one day chew its cud. Perish biyadua shehu malagera, u'mir achar kach hachazir shiyatz me'aklal. So again, you could say the Pashup Shah, like the Gemara says, that the pig is the exception to the rule, after it tells us the general principle. V'ulai mimashalo hotzi min haklal, samach lo das klal, ramaz shafilu hachazir b'klal. But perhaps from the fact that the pig is hinted to as being part of the klal, maybe it is hinting to the fact that it will be part of the klal. Like Rabbeinu Bachaya brings, perhaps based on a medrash, lama nikra shemo chazir, she'asin lachzor liyos mutar. That in the future, the pig will become mutter. And therefore, you can read the pasuk literally. Kol mafreses, himalas. All that have split, himalas. Will chew. Does chew. Will chew. Lo yatsami klal davar. Nothing is missing. Everything is included. Valzman meazmanim amra chazir shu mafres velo lo yigar. And only temporarily do we say about the pig that the pig has split hooves but doesn't yet chew its cud. But eventually, it will chew its cud. Okay? He goes on in Pasuk Vav, he talks about why the Arneves, why highlight the female species of that animal, and he has a little bit of an explanation how Nekeva is often associated with Klipa and Midas Hadin, and therefore when we talk about a Tame animal, we use Nekeva as the example, that Zachar is supposed to be dominant over Nekeva in this world as we know it. Eventually there'll be a realignment, but he says any min that's usser is a bechina of klipa, and it's detached from the source of life, and that's why it's associated with nekeva. And don't make any assumptions about our wives and our mothers and our daughters and our sisters. Okay, he then says again in Pasuk Zayin this idea about the pig, v'hu geira lo yigar. Again, the pig right now is not chewing its cud, but in the future the pig will change. And then he makes a very interesting point. He says at the end of Pasuk Zayin, Ki HaTorah lo tishuneh. The Torah is not going to change. The Torah is a deeper reality. The thought of a pig changing its its physical self. The pig would change its physical reality is a strange thing for us to imagine. But you know what's even stranger to imagine? That the Torah would change, because Torah is the ultimate reality. So he says, don't think that the Torah is going to change in the future. The pig is going to change in the future to align itself with Torah reality. Good? Alright, two final points, and that is, and I'll say them outside, in Pasuk Yud, he says, you should realize, Sheketz Heim Lachem, that a person who eats something unholy, it damages your soul whether you do it on purpose or by accident. That's a very important rule to be mindful of in Pnimius with regard to Kashrus. A person can't say, I accidentally ate something not kosher. There's a mitzias of non-kosher food that it clogs your heart and clogs your soul. So therefore, even a person who b'shogeg eats something unholy, the pasuk says, sheketz heim lachem. It's sheketz. It's damaging. And you should realize that there's no difference between Shogeg and Mezid in that regard. He then, in Pasuk of Aleph, speaks about the kashrus of grasshoppers, which the Torah speaks about here. And he says, don't be surprised if you can't find the grasshoppers the Torah is describing here. Just because you don't have them in your neighbor, it doesn't make the Torah false. And we're not exactly sure which grasshoppers we're allowed to eat and we're not allowed to eat. But I'm encouraging you not to eat grasshoppers. And I can tell you that since I started my campaign against people eating grasshoppers, I told them not to eat grasshoppers. In the last 12 years, he says, then the Pasuk of Aleph, for the last 12 years, people have stopped eating grasshoppers. And you know what? It's helping. When we follow the Torah, it helps. Did you realize, he says, that in the last 12 years, the amount of damage to the crops from locusts is much less? And it's because I started my campaign against people eating grasshoppers. I think people are eating not kosher grasshoppers. And for the last 12 years, people have been makbid, and it's having a hashpah. So realize, the things that we do really matter in this world. Pasuk of Dalet has a very sharp critique of Ibn Ezra, just to be aware of it. For those who like to see things about, Harifas, you can take a look at Pasuk of Dalet. He writes very strongly against Ibn Ezra. And last but not least, just turn, we'll see one last thing inside, to be machazik ourselves and the importance of checking our vegetables. He writes at the end of Pasuk Mem Gimel. Look at the end of Pasuk Mem Gimel. And the pasuk mem gimel v'lo titamu v'nitmesem bam. The end of pasuk mem gimel, right before mem dalet, a couple lines up, right before he says kani Hashem elokecha v'lo titamu v'nitmesem bam. V'tzarech ha'adam li'zaher b'tosefes zihirus v'zrizus b'chol davar asher yichanes b'geder safek shiyakutz zeh. You should be so careful. Anything that's a safek, it's better to avoid. Don't eat raspberries. Why does Hashem make raspberries? That's a good question. It's a great question. I don't recommend you eat raspberries. Ever? It's possible to clean them. You probably won't be able to do it though.
I heard this week it's not possible to do it.
So don't eat raspberries. Don't eat raspberries. It's certainly together suffering. Ah, but they're so good. I remember when I was a kid I had raspberries. Okay. You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
How do they make raspberries?
Okay, so you have to know. You have to know all the halachos of how to check, what to check.
How do they make raspberries?
It's a good question.
Okay.
It's a very good question. Very and there are very reliable kosher organizations that give you a hachshor on your raspberry jam and your raspberry yogurt and your raspberry. Okay, it's a good question.
And dye raspberry.
It's a good question, and it touches on a lot of halachos in your day that we need to explore. But, he says here that anything that's a suffix, you should be careful. However, it's not stam that the parsha begins. It's not stam that the parsha begins with Hashras Hashchina and the establishment of the Mishkan, and the parsha ends with guard your Mishkan. Don't put poisonous, spiritually poisonous things in your body. So he says anything that's together suffix, be careful. Uma gam bizmanim elu. Look what he writes here. He says, in our times, shenizham ha'avir v'ha'artas kulan yachad ve'ein lecha gedulei karka she'ein behem me'ashikutz. He says, there's basically no vegetable that grows in the world today that is entirely free of bugs. Shomer nafshur yishmor es hadavar. A person who guards his soul will be very careful about these things. Again, I don't think that Hashem wants us to say that everything is aser. There are things which certainly can be cleaned, and it sometimes takes a little bit of effort or maybe a little more expense to buy a brand that has already been pre-washed and pre-checked with reliable hechsher. But again, this is an important thing. It affects your soul even if you eat it b'shogeg, and that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. The parsha ends, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem says, I've chosen to be your God to the exclusion of any other nation. My unique relationship with you demands a higher level of guarding from Tumah. Viskadashta. And if you do your best, he says, to guard yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll guard you as well. The same way the Gemara says that Hashem protects tzaddikim, that they shouldn't even have shogeg. They shouldn't have any mistakes when it comes to their eating. Because again, even mistakes by eating really make a difference in our soul. So Mirtz Hashem, we should guard ourselves in this way. We should become holy vessels for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hashras HaShchina. Again, both in body and in spirit, to be lifnei Hashem, like we learned earlier in the parsha, and to guard ourselves from any type of tumah or sheketz or unholiness, as described at the end of the parsha. And then Amir Tzashem will be zolcha to see the bayis shlishi, which we long for so much every single day of our lives. B'mehera b'yameinu amen.